Take your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We are going to continue our study in the book of Ecclesiastes tonight. And this one, I think, is maybe one of the most unique but yet needed Bible studies we've had yet in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let's start reading in verse number 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. That's talking about religion. God says we're supposed to go hear from God, not just perform traditions and talk about the things that fools do because it's evil. Verse number 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. Now watch this. This is where the Bible study tonight really takes place. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow a vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Notice that statement. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Now watch this. For in the multitude of dreams are many words, and there also is diverse vanities, but fear thou God. Now, look at me for a second, and I want you to pay attention and listen to me. People are dreamers. People really are. We have all these ideals, and we dream about children go from profession to profession to profession when they're small children. Boys want to be a fireman, then they want to be a policeman, then they want to be this, then they want to be a pro wrestler, then they want to be this, and they want to do all kinds of things. They go from profession to profession to profession to profession before they even know what a profession is. They want to be an astronaut. How many times, when I grow up, I want to, you hear it all the time. Now, whatever looks fun and exciting, they want to do that. When I was a kid, it was play Evel Knievel, amen? But people talk about, listen to me and I'm going to bring it back up to the adults now. People talk about that dream job. That dream position. But more often than not, it's a nightmare. It's not a dream. Girls dream about their fairy tale wedding, and then they find out it was a nightmare. Boys dream about killing that world-class giant 27-point buck. You know, people are just full of dreams. Now, this is where I want you to, we're going to jump back into the scriptures here momentarily. The truth is, most of our dreams are a waste of time. Life does not turn out quite like we dreamed it would. If you are over the age of 20, it has not turned out the way you thought it would. Not at all. So what good was it to spend all that time on all those dreams? It goes to prove we're not God and that most of our dreams are going to be shattered, whether good or bad. There's some areas of my life is far bigger than I could have ever dreamed. There's other areas, not so good. The dreams that are fulfilled come by doing things God's way. Let me say that again. Dreams that are fulfilled come by doing things God's way. Now, this is where I need you to really, really, really pay attention because The whole sermon hinges on about the next 2 minutes. People want to dream first, then work toward a dream. God says, look at verse number 3, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business. God says we work, we then succeed, and then we begin to dream how to make what we have that much bigger and that much better. We humans want to dream first, then we want to rely on what we dreamed and be that, make that the ideal of what we want. And God says you got it backwards. God says get busy working. In the process of working and succeeding, you will then begin to dream to find success. Too many, let me keep going here. We humans, once again, are doing things backwards. We want to dream and then succeed. God says begin succeeding and then begin dreaming. The world says follow your dreams. Yeah, how'd that turn out? God says follow your work and the right dreams will follow you. The world says follow your dreams. God says follow your work and the dreams will follow you. That's what God says. Now, people think that dreams are spiritual. Can I tell you something? Wrong answer. It's not true. God does not speak to people through dreams anymore. I can show you scripturally and will in a little while here. God quit speaking to people through dreams and visions with the completion of the Word of God and the coming of Jesus Christ. There was no more need to hide the Word of God from the devil because the devil did what he needed to do at Calvary. Dreams ceased. God quit speaking through dreams and visions. Well, God gave me a dream. No, he didn't. It's just something you want. Everybody doing okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I know, I just blew somebody's bubble. I just shattered your dream. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse number 8. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies. The word prophecy there literally means foretellings, dreams, visions. They shall what? Fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall what? Cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. God says, look, all those things are going to stop. When Oral Roberts said he saw a 100-foot Jesus in his dreams, he just had bad pizza before he went to bed. Well, preacher, I had a dream and I want to know what this dream means. It means you were thinking about it before you went to bed. That's all it means. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 12. It's right after the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Ezekiel chapter 12. If you get to the book of Daniel, go back a few pages. Ezekiel chapter 12. Look at verse number 22. Says, son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. Look, this is all the way back in the book of Ezekiel. This is during the Babylonian captivity. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass, then it shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. And again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. Guess what? God said, I've already spoken it. Why do you need a dream? We don't need God to give us a dream. We need to read the words he gave us. Amen. There's nothing spiritual about dreams. I hate to disappoint you. Now, God did at one time speak through dreams and visions. Yes, he did. I could take you to several places. But the Bible is complete, and God said it will cease. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 17. Acts chapter 2, verse number 17. It'd be better if I was in the right chapter. There we go. That'll help. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Everybody look at me. Since the time of Calvary, when a person gets saved, who indwells us?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, right? Look at verse 17 again. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Notice it's a matter of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It comes through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It is not a dream, but it is a, when 12 and a half, for so a little over 12 years ago, when Grace Baptist Church started, my wife and I never envisioned where we are today doing what we're doing, with whom we're doing it. Pastoring? Yes. Did we ever envision buying ground and building a building? Are you kidding? You say, what were you? I was just trying to survive. Then the time came. Then we had to fight Jefferson County and haven't stopped. So all those things, it comes through the multitude of work, not having the dream first. I'd never have dreamed about a 7,000 seat auditorium and 30 acres out here somewhere and tens of thousands of people coming. Say what? That's a foolish dream. This area can't sustain that type of church growth. There's not enough people to reach that way. Everybody doing okay? There's a reality to the thing, but we do have the Holy Spirit. Now, let me help you with this topic of dreams tonight. Let's see what God has to say. Number one, dreams come through a multitude of work. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. The more work you put into something, the more the dream will come. Can I tell you what happens in a marriage, why the dreams stop in a marriage? Because people quit working on their marriage. Can I tell you what happens in child rearing? We quit working on it and we give up. Can I tell you what happens in a friendship or any other relationship? Can I tell you what happened at work? You quit working and started complaining. You see, through a multitude of work, through a multitude of business, the dreams come. I'll promise you, the busier I get for God, the more dreams I have. Brother Anthony, I've spent a little bit of extra time together lately. He's driving. I'm not. Can I tell you something? We've dreamed together. He's heard some of my dreams. Say, why? Because we're busy doing something and God's doing it. I didn't have the dream first. It came because of a multitude of work. It didn't come because I knew 12 years ago this is what we were headed towards. I had no idea. Dreams come from the investment, not the desire of profit. Let me say that again. Dreams come because of the investment, not because of the desire for profit. Too many people, and I know I'm fiddling around, I'm sorry, but it just is what it is. I got to shift the weight every once in a while. We have to understand something. Too many people have these, and I'm going to use a word y'all will understand, a fairy tale dream, so that they can be the king of the castle. They want to be the queen or the king. They want an end result. They don't want the success it takes to get there. You see, you want the profit. You want the fame. You want the excitement and the attention. You want the grandioseness of everything about it, but you don't want the process to get you there. You just want the end result. You don't want to take all the steps to get there. God says, look at verse number 3 again. Everybody doing okay? I love you. This one's going to hurt. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. Did you ever meet those people that can tell you everything they've done, but they haven't done anything? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I know a few people that they've been things in their head that there's no such thing to be. I know people that are professional students because they can't figure out what they want to be. I know people that they'll talk real big about certain things, and they talk like they know what they're talking about, but there's no proof that they ever have done anything. I know a fellow that, he's told me, I don't know how many times, he's been in cabinet meetings with the president and done this at the White House and done that, and he lives in a trailer in a mobile home park. And come on, I'm not saying that if you live in a trailer in a mobile home park that you're not a good person, but you're not going to be doing White House level work. I was born tonight, but not last night. Look at verse number 7. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there's also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. He said, look, there's going to be a lot of people talk about success. Very few people will succeed. Isn't it amazing? The only person that thinks they live up to the resume is you. Did you ever read somebody's work resume? Isn't it amazing how we try to make things look more important than what they really were? Everybody doing okay? That one really hurt, didn't it? God says, not just work. God says, a multitude of work. Look at it again in verse number 3. For a dream cometh through a multitude of business. In other words, you have to get so busy and so wrapped up, the only way to get out of it is to figure a way out. Let me tell you a quick little story here. Did you know that Henry Ford grew up as a poor man on a farm? Henry Ford, at the age of 16 or 17, got so frustrated with farm work that he told his dad he was leaving. He was headed to, I believe, Kentucky or Ohio, to become a watchmaker. He was fascinated with watches. He'd torn them apart and put them back together, figured out all the little components and springs. He had an incredible engineering and mechanical mind. And farm work bored Henry Ford. He said it's the biggest waste of energy because you waste so much energy to do the same things over and over and over and over and over and over again. And he said there's too much time and too much energy wasted on farm work. He said it's important, but there's got to be a better way. Well, he found out that the clock business had been pretty much so dominated, and getting into it was nigh near impossible. He moved to Michigan, He began to work on the internal combustion engine. There were others out there, but he began to work on a car. Mr. Daimler actually had been already developed a car 20 years previous to that in the 1880s. He did not invent, Henry Ford did not invent the car. But he wanted to invent something that would run, that the average family and farmer could use to transport goods a whole lot faster and do work on a farm, traveling back and forth a whole lot faster than they could with an ox or a mule or a horse. So he began to work. Model A, Model B, C, D, finally ended up with Model T. That was the first car. Began to sell it, started taking off. Sold it for probably 12, 15 years before he ever thought of another model, and everybody was pushing him. There were so many cars being sold that he had to figure out a way to assemble them and make them more efficiently so they could get more done. That's where the assembly line process began. From the assembly line process, and that came the farm division of Ford Motor Company, begin making tractors. During the war, the communist Franklin Roosevelt decided that he was going to tell businesses they had to shut down and make war machinery instead of their own stuff. By the way, that's illegal. Government doesn't have to tell you doesn't have the right to tell you to shut your business down. They have the right to ask you if you'll help, but not shut your business down and make you do something else. Even for war. Everybody doing okay? That's why Henry Ford kept producing cars. Remember the old Ford Woodies? They had the wood panels on the side. He kept making cars. He couldn't make them out of metal, but he made as many parts out of wood as he could. But he also began making airplanes, and they were so exact that they were shipping pilots in to fly them right off the assembly line right to the battlefields. They did not need tested. Where did all this come from? Came from somebody that understood that a multitude of work bringeth a dream. How many of you have ever used charcoal before? You know that Henry Ford invented it? Charcoal was something that he and Harvey Firestone and Thomas Edison, he got tired of chopping wood every time they would go camping for 3-4 weeks at a time. And he found that the coke, after they burned the coke out of the coal and stuff from the mountains for the steel, all that material would fall to the bottom of the furnaces and they would just throw it away. He said, there's got to be something to do with that. So what he did was he began combining it with cornstarch and water and making bricks out of it, and found out you could light it and it would burn. He used it for a campfire. Now watch this. He had a friend and said, look, I've got you a $1 million idea if you're willing to do it. You buy your stuff from me, I'll give you the patent for it, and you can get a patent for it, and it'll be all yours. Kingsford. Guy's name was King Ford. Henry Ford's the one that developed it. He sold it to his friend, and the guy made millions, billions. A dream cometh through a multitude of business. Did you catch who some of his friends were? Harvey Firestone. They signed a contract for 100 years that Ford Motor Company would put Firestone tires on every vehicle coming out of Ford Motor Company for 100 years. Say, why'd they do that? A dream cometh through a multitude of work. I could go on and on and on. You see, the redundancy of farm work brought forth the efficiency of the internal combustion engine. By the way, do you know how, and I love this story, do you know how Mr. Edison and Henry Ford met? They met at an expo one day, and Henry Ford did not want to go talk to Thomas Edison because he knew Mr. Edison was known as Mr. Electric and he was working on an electric car. By the way, they had electric cars in the 1800s. Mr. Edison walked over and said, "Are you Henry Ford?" He said, "I am." And he said, "Shake my hand." He said, "I hear you have the internal combustion engine." He said, "I've been working for years on an electric vehicle." He said, "The electric vehicle will never work. It will never be efficient enough, and it will never last." He said, "It's a novelty, and it will never be what the internal combustion engine could ever be." He said, "Nice to meet you." They became instant friends. By the way, that was over 100 years ago. Our government's not smart enough to listen to the people that knew what they were talking about. So, a dream comes not through just work. It comes through a multitude of work. Boys and girls, listen to me for a second. Can I tell you something? School's not supposed to be easy. School's supposed to be work. School's supposed to be hard. School's supposed to be a lot of work. I'm not for making it easier. I'm for making a little bit more. Because through a multitude of business, a multitude of work, you'll find the dream that God has for you. You see, too many people, and by the way, I'm for play. I'm for having fun. But you earn the right through your work to have fun. Parents, I believe a child's education is their profession. And you can disagree with me all you want, but I know what I'm talking about. You ought to look at their education as importantly as you do your own job. Because their future profession hangs on the balance of their education. I get a little tired in our country where parents think that it's school's job to do all the educating and not at home. No, we're to take care of part of it, but that's why there's things called homework if they're too lazy to get it done in school. Or if they're too far behind. It takes extra work at home to get it done. Everybody doing all right? All right, hang in there. Wait till I can pound on the pulpit and I got both feet. Number two, talking about a dream doesn't mean anything. Talking about a dream doesn't mean anything. let me put it this way. There are dreamers and there are doers. Which are you? Until you have done a lot of work, you don't even know what to dream. You know, I think it's funny, a 5-year-old girl can tell you exactly what her wedding's going to be. And a 5-year-old boy, he don't give a rip. He's going to tell you what kind of dog he wants. You see, there are dreamers and there are doers. God says talkers of dreams often only want great profit. They only want fame. They don't want the journey of success. Listen to me very carefully here. Let me teach you something vital. Success is not an end result. Success is not an arrival point. Success is a series of doing things right and well that you continue doing successfully. In succession. Success is not an end. It is something that keeps going. May I say something? And I mean this with all my heart. I'm not a successful pastor if this church only thrives while I'm here. I'll know in 30, 40, 50 years when I'm not here whether I was a successful pastor or not. When I'm no longer here and this church either stays right or goes liberal, we'll find out what kind of pastor I was. Everybody doing okay? You see, success keeps on going. Success sets itself up to keep on going. Hey, if I'm sick, break my heel, and can't come to church, the success was we hired the right person to be here to help me take care of this work. Everybody understand that? There's success there. There was a stability there. And the success was keeping it going even though I could not be here. Boy, that's good stuff. Success is not an end point. It is a process that never stops. You don't really know how to measure success. Success is not in a bank account. I know a lot of wealthy people that are fools. They've inherited a lot of money. Doers don't talk, they work. Isn't it amazing? Did you ever work with somebody? They knew how to run the company better than the people running the company? It drives me up a wall. The guy flipping burgers at McDonald's thinks he knows better than Ray Kroc himself. What an idiot. Okay, I'm going to read my own quote here. This is where public education has stupefied America. We think if one has a degree, they know everything. I got 3 degrees. Guess what? Doesn't mean I know anything. Means I put a lot of time into something, but it doesn't mean I know anything. Am I doing all right? Just because you go to college, and I'll be honest with you, I hope they shut about 2/3 of the colleges down in the next 4 years. Hope they start making tests where people have to get in and tests to be tested out to pass. Yes. Not giving cry rooms and days off so that because they lost an election. Bunch of weenies. So, talking about a dream doesn't mean anything. There's talkers and there's doers. God said, a fool's voice is known in the multitude of words. Somebody that has to constantly talk about their success, hey, they didn't succeed. You know, Donald Trump doesn't talk about all the businesses he built. It's everybody else that talks about it. He doesn't talk about all the money he's made. Everybody else does. Did you ever notice that? He may say, yeah, I've made millions and millions. I've done billions of dollars in business deals. But it's not in a braggadocious way. It's just, hey, I know how to run this country. Boy, that's good stuff. Number 3. Are you ready? God says we sleep and dream better after we work. Look at verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat a little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Did you know because you're rich doesn't mean you're going to sleep well? Matter of fact, I know a lot of rich people that don't sleep at all. How many of you know the name Howard Hughes? Howard Hughes is one of the wealthiest men of the last century. The guy was a Fruit Loop nutcase. He was a nut job. They locked him in a padded room. He was constantly thinking people were after him and his money and his things and his all of his inventions and things. He had what they called the spruce goose. The guy was a weirdo. You'd be surprised how many wealthy people are so concerned somebody's going to take their stuff. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to back up and hit something again. Children will be better doers and dreamers if they'll throw themselves into their schoolwork. Young people, you want to learn not to hate school and not learn to not hate learning? Throw yourself into it and give it your best. I could go to adult after adult after adult after adult in this auditorium that either didn't finish high school or barely finished high school, wishing they would have had what you have now. Everybody doing okay? I believe a child's education should be treated as their profession. Their paycheck is called adulthood. Their paycheck is the rest of their life. I'm going to get in trouble, but that's okay. Don't bog them down with so much extra that they don't have time to do their work well. I think sports are overrated. I'm not against sports, but sports are far overrated. And when public schools started playing games on Saturdays, and practicing on Saturdays, and Sundays, and holidays, I would tell the public school what to do with it. There are certain places they can put it, and it's out back behind the shed. It's a bunch of garbage. Can I tell you why the public education wants to keep your kids so busy? So that they can say they have them more than you do and they control them. And they're re-philosophizing them against you. That's why they see no problem with boys and girls playing in the same sport. Everybody doing okay? I think it's dangerous. Talkers sleep, but they're never satisfied. A working man sleeps and is refreshed and ready for more work. Better quality of sleep comes by labor, not just talking about work. Did you ever notice those people that can talk about work, but they never do any? I've met ladies that talk about they're always going to clean their house, but they've never done it. Or they're going to do this, but they've never done it. They talk about it, but it never gets done. Okay, moving on. Number four. Dreams and success are God's gift to laboring people. Dreams and success are God's gift to laboring people. Look at verse number 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 18. Behold, that which I've seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his what? Labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. I believe by the time you retire, you ought to have enough to retire on and enjoy being taken care of with what you put aside while you worked. God said that is the gift of God. Whether it's through your investments, through your retirement, through whatever. But by the way, there's people going to go to the poorhouse because they've spent it all and they don't have any reward for their labor because they spent it all. Everybody doing okay? I believe that we ought to put things aside to take care of us when we're not able to be working. Boy, that's good stuff. There is no reward for only talking about dreaming. There's only reward for those that worked and dreamed and made something of themselves. Shattered dreams come before labor. Shattered dreams are vanity because they're based on personal profit and personal desire. God is not a welfare God in the sense that he's going to give you everything you want just because you wanted it. You know, God doesn't have to give you what you want just because you want it. Boy, I'm having a good time here. God says we have to earn the reward of our labor. Is that not what 2 Thessalonians 3:10 is all about? If a man does not work, he should not eat. That'll get rid of the welfare program. Everybody doing okay? God said you don't work, you shouldn't eat. You might not like this. My kids didn't get to eat breakfast if they didn't clean up their room and have the bed made before they went to school. Oh, you didn't give them breakfast? Nope, don't work, don't eat. Period. End of discussion. I didn't say it had to be spotless, but it had to be read up a little bit. Say, what'd you do, preacher? I walked through every one of their bedrooms, or the mama did. Bed had to be made, things had to be picked up. And by the way, picked up doesn't mean shoved under the bed or in a closet somewhere with the door shut. Or shoved in one drawer and the whole dresser is about to explode. Just because you want something does not obligate God to give it to you. Even salvation was labored for. But it wasn't labored for by us. It was labored for by Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. That's what Ephesians 2:8-9 is all about. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, it's a gift of God by not of works, but somebody worked to give it to you, and his name is Jesus Christ. Nobody can work for salvation, but we do work because of salvation. And our work earns us rewards. If that's true spiritually, why would it not be true physically? Number five, and I'll finish, and you'll be glad. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 again. God says, and now listen to me very carefully here, dreaming and success comes because we control our wants and our desires. We control our wants and our desires. Look at verse number 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow a vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that was in error, wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? God says, hey, look, before you tell God to tell everybody this is what you're going to do for God, you better think about it before you say that, because God's going to hold you accountable. I believe that's true financially, too. It's better not to vow a vow, go into a debt, and then say, I can't pay it. Credit card is usury. It's against what God wants you to do. If you pay your credit card off every month, no problem. But there's people here paying 15, 16, 18, 20, 25, 26, 28, 30% interest. And if you notice during the last administration, you haven't made any progress on any of your debt, and the payments went up. Because the interest rates went up. You have no equity in your house. You take everything out of it and there's nothing left. I'm not saying that it's ever wrong to borrow on your house, but you ought to be able to pay the debt back before you do. My couple statements here to make you really mad. Don't go into so much debt that you can't pay it. By the way, it's a vow. Quit wanting until you have the wherewithal to pay for it first. Have the wherewithal to pay for it first. Make sure you pay your debts and pay them on time or early. And by that doesn't mean getting another credit card and rotating the payment on it so that you don't have to make payments. You play credit card roulette. I know how, believe me, I've been counseling this too long. Everybody doing all right? We need to want less and spend less, not just try to make more money to satisfy our selfish wants. Some of you are destroying your families because of all the extra work you're trying to do to pay for all the debt that you're in because you wanted too much. Sell a bunch of the garbage off, pay the debt off, and spend time with the family. Just before we left for church tonight, my daughter and son-in-law called. What do you all want for Christmas? Nothing. Would you quit that? What do you want? My wife finally said something, I mean, really small. My son-in-law, Dad, what do you want? I said, nothing. 10 minutes later, my phone blipped and he was texting me. What about this or what about this? Nope, I have everything I want there. Well, Dad, what do you want? I don't want anything. I honestly want nothing. I don't. Maybe the only thing I want, nobody can give me right now, I want to walk and I want to drive. And I just got to wait. Now, my wife wants it more than I do because she's tired of driving me. But the principle of... The first principle of buying is this, wait. My dad's sitting right back there. He told me before you ever make a big purchase, first thing you do, sleep on it. Wait 24 hours. I've watched my dad go get ready to go buy a car, get everything just about ready, walk out and say, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. We'll talk about this. Watch the dealer go. Nope, gonna sleep on it. I watched my dad walk out of a dealership over $50. Not kidding. Time he got home, the phone was ringing. Guy said, "We'll come down 25. He said, "Nope, 50 or nothing." Matter of fact, since I had to drive home, it's 75 now. Guy said, "If you can be here in 20 minutes, let me talk with my boss." He said, "Check with your boss first, because I ain't doing driving backwards. It's going to be 150. Guy came back and said, "Get here." I watched my dad go back and get that for $50. He got 25 more out of him, amen? Thinking, man, Dad, just pay the... And he wasn't paying it. You say, what is that? Wait. Be patient. Wait. Walk away from it. Did he want it? Yeah, but he didn't want it bad enough to get it with outside his range. You got to get it within the range that you can afford. Boy, that's good stuff. God says a dream comes through a multitude of business. Remember, success is not an end. It's a process. It's a never-ending succession of processes. It's not an end. You want to dream? Get busy working. Kids, you want to dream about graduating? Get busy. Work your tails off. Graduation will come, then reality really hits. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Maybe we need to quit dreaming first and start working. Some of us have these ideals of what things should be. God said, start working, and then we'll work on the dream. Get rid of your ideals. Say, "Well, I'm just so disappointed, preacher." Yeah, you're disappointed because you had the dream first. Get busy doing the work. Let God take care of the dreams.